Cool.
This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. It is episode 25.
Yeah.
And you don't know the story.
Why are you getting behind on this one?
Yeah. Definitely to see it.
I can't read it.
It's a true crime story. The mysterious death of Michelle Herndon. Have you heard that?
Not, just the name is not familiar, but.
Okay. Well, when I start telling the story, it may come back to you.
Yeah.
It was just very interesting to me. I actually just heard a podcast on it, and I have a list of other stories, but I just thought this one just really was like a little murder mystery type. It stood out to me. It was just very interesting.
Okay.
And it's an older case, but I wasn't sure if you knew it.
I don't think so. Not right now. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, no, no.
I wanted to tell you or talk about it. So, in 2005, Michelle was a 24-year-old college student in Gainesville, Florida. You know how after someone dies, they're always like saying, this girl was wonderful. Or your girl, yeah. Boy, she was just this and everything great about them. And they never say, actually, she was kind of bitchy. Yeah. And she's a little selfish.
She's a little, okay.
Yeah. They don't usually say that. But for real, this girl, she really was like an awesome girl.
A 24-year-old girl.
It seemed, you know, I didn't know her. Everything I read, she really did seem to have it all together. A college student who also worked as a personal fitness trainer. She was a member of Friendship Baptist Church in her hometown in Live Oak, Florida. She also volunteered at Jungle Friends Animal Sanctuary, where they cared for monkeys that had been released from lab research.
Oh, good dear.
Yeah.
I know.
But that's a lot of work. We think dogs are a lot of work. Monkeys are a lot of work.
You get paid?
Oh, she volunteered. No. She volunteered to take care of them. She would, of course, save all the dogs and animals that she could, you know, try to foster. Everything that she could do or donate money. She had a child that she sponsored in Africa.
Jeez.
Yeah, this kid's 24 years old. So really did seem to be an amazing girl.
Make me feel bad about that.
For real. We're like 20-something years older than her, and she's already done something.
Yes.
She took in strays. She was nice to everyone, even humans that seemed lost or loner types. She was just friends to everybody. She didn't act better than anybody. Just all around great girl. So after she was to graduate from the University of Florida, she had plans to join the Peace Corps in Africa as well. Forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Just like,
man,
I know. She had lots of friends and was very close to her family and her mom. On the podcast, I listened to her mom speak a lot. And she had a boyfriend named Jason. So she, and this was in 2005, she lived by herself in a not so great neighborhood in Gainesville. And that's just, they mentioned that she was like, some of her friends didn't even want to come over there and things. I just, I guess she rented somewhere that wasn't great. She was like, what are they going to steal from me? Everybody's, we all have nothing, or we all have the same. She was just kind of like, didn't care about, I guess, a lot of that kind of stuff, materialistic things. And she had her best friend, Jessica, had a really big backyard, and they would have family dinners once a week. And they would invite like whatever friends they could. It was mostly girlfriends, but occasionally Jessica's roommate, Oliver, he would also come. He was a, they said he was just a kind of quiet loner type, super smart, but he would also join them in their family dinners they had once a week. And things were going great in her life. Her boyfriend of 4 years, they had, you know, been a long distance relationship. I think they had been constant, but not always serious because it was long distance for 4 years. That was a long time. But
where
was he? He was actually in Miami and she's in Gainesville. So after the 4 years of dating, they had recently decided to become more serious. He was going to move closer to her, closer to Gainesville. And they were going to, you know, take like a, he said like a pre-engagement type thing. Not quite engaged, but
a promise,
like a promise ring type, you know, or situation. So her mom and her friends and her boyfriend had not heard from her for a couple of days. And she did get very bad migraines. But there was still no reason. I think she would go to sleep or something, but maybe they thought at first. Her mom said she just thought maybe she was really busy. It was like 2 days her mom didn't hear from her.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when her boyfriend doesn't hear from her, I mean, after 2 days, he really starts to get freaked out. And so he decides on November 10th, Jason decides to drive to her house in Gainesville from his house in Miami. And he calls her mom at 3:30 a.m. after he arrived. I guess he just said, I've had enough and drives all night. And
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, can't get in touch with her after he got to her house because her door was locked, front door was locked, and he could hear her phone ringing inside the house when he was calling her.
And he could hear
her dog inside barking like crazy. So he just panicked, you know, and it like totally normal thing to do, called her mother.
I know.
So her mom, her mother, where she was from, I said it around.
Yes,
Florida. It was about an hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So her mom said she just got in the car and she just drove straight there to Gainesville. When she got there, the police had already been, I think Jason had called them like for a wellness check and the police were already there. They already had the tape up and everything. And they were already in Michelle's house. And as soon as Michelle's mom got there, they told her that she was dead and that she was found in her bed. And her mom, like, immediately knowing how healthy she was, because they said she was just a health nut. You know, she worked as the fitness trainer, but she also was just, like, very, I think she exercised a lot. She ate really healthy. And knowing that about her daughter, she said she immediately thought it was foul play. She was like, there's just no way. Because they didn't see a struggle or anything, but
she wasn't, like, stabbed or
shot
or beaten or anything. She was just not dead in her bed.
No. And the mom, I mean, she just thought it has to be foul play because of all these things. And the Gainesville police, though, they were not so sure of that. They even thought possibly she committed suicide. It didn't look like anything.
Yeah.
Because it didn't look like anyone had
no forced entry.
No forced entry, no struggle. They talked to everybody in her life and realized that she was just very happy and there was no kind of signs of suicide and she didn't leave the note. So they pretty quickly ruled that out. They even questioned if she was like a closet drug user. And that was ruled out when they did some digging into her life and things like that. And like I said, no sign of an intruder. So they're thinking, okay, she died of natural causes.
It happened.
Something random, aneurysm, something like that.
Yes,
it totally happens. I mean, there's a heart defect that they don't know about, things like that.
Yeah.
So the case was about closed, but they had to, the last thing they had to do, I mean, the investigators were like, natural causes, we're about to close the case. But they had one more thing to do. They had to send her body to the medical examiner.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother, of course, did not want them to do an autopsy because she did not want them to cut on her daughter.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I could totally understand that. But, and her mom had come to terms with a natural causes thing. You know, and I think some people in that situation, they feel like it's done. It's not going to bring her back.
Yeah.
Why do we need to know? But the details, I guess.
And there's no reason to suspect.
There wasn't.
She didn't have any enemies, no forced entry.
The medical examiner actually talked on the podcast and she said, I completely understood why she didn't want to do it, but I explained to her mom that it was very important,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we really needed to do this. They need to do like the toxicology report, things like that. There could be something that they're missing, they don't know about. So in the meantime, they had a memorial service for Michelle. And I mean, I think, like I said, everybody had come to terms with it. It was natural causes. And her friends and some family spoke about her. And they said it was just a beautiful service. And when the medical examiner's report came back, just as they thought, Michelle was in great health. But there was one little tiny detail found on her body. On her left arm, there was a tiny dot. Smaller than a freckle. The medical examiner sees that.
Oh, it is too pointy to your wrist.
Kind of. On her arm. So I don't necessarily know if it's her wrist.
It says somewhere on her arm.
Somewhere on her left arm. So after the medical examiners started looking close to her, she realized it was a needle mark. So she calls the detective and tells him,
yeah,
if this is a needle mark, it's still going to take a while to get the toxicology.
Kind of like don't see us that.
Yeah. And like write the lab and come back in.
And then in minutes. And then
10 minutes. Exactly. But she wants to call the detective to tell him this is something strange that I found. And of course, he said that right at first, he was like, is there any other marks? Maybe she was a druggie. And the medical examiner says, no, just this one single pinprick. And she said, just side note, it looked like it had been done by a medical professional. So with the new info, things are about to take a change in this investigation. Obviously, it goes from natural causes to not natural causes. We don't know exactly what yet, but so the next day, the investigator goes back to Michelle's house to look for more clues.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, there he finds a Publix grocery bag that had, okay, so the trash had been taken out, but this had fallen out of the trash. Just okay. The Publix bag, like, tied up.
Yeah.
It was accidentally left behind by the garbage truck.
And
I know.
Like, outside?
Yeah.
Oh.
When they picked the trash up, it had fallen out of the trash can.
Huh.
Yeah. Inside, it had some, they said, like, pharmaceutical grade medical supplies.
Mm-hmm.
It had the little IV bottles with needles, which I just found this very strange, and a catheter. Mm-hmm. And it never speaks anymore about that, which I, okay. But the medical bottles, there was like three different medicines, and one of the medicines was propofol. I can't say. And there was a couple other medicines, but so he says he Googles the propofol and he realizes it's a fast acting sedative. Same thing Michael Jackson was taking or using.
I think the doctor was giving it to him,
is injecting it. And so it's just crazy, but this had all been in like 24 to 48 hours after her death. So that's why he was so fast to find the public's bag. But I did think it was strange that so they had the memorial. I just thought that was awfully fast. But
oh, yeah.
Didn't it? So, and it says that they had that, put it in a different order of the podcast that I was listening to. I mean, I read certain things too, but
yeah,
they just
in 48 hours at her memorial.
Yeah, maybe. But the trash bag, he found it at and within a few days. He said that the next day he found the public bag. So he said it was just dumb luck that they found that bag, which is pretty cool, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're clueless. They don't have any evidence. They have nothing's left behind. Even the door was locked back, like over her house,
of her apartment.
So the investigators started to re-interview people because they had already, I guess, 24 hours already interviewed some people, but they started back talking to other people.
All different questions to ask now.
Yeah, exactly. It really stuck with the detective of what the medical examiner had said, that it was a skilled person that had to have done this because there was no bruising around it. Anything.
Yeah, and how do you get a vial of propofol?
I mean, well, that too, of course. That
I guess you could, but I think it's not that easy to get.
No, you'd have to be in the medical field.
Yeah.
So, also, one of Michelle's neighbors had spotted a few days before her death. He said that there was a small frame Caucasian guy with glasses. And they asked her friends who they knew with that description. And they said, yes, Jessica's roommate. Oh. Yeah. There you go. So the investigators asked Michelle's mom, Belinda, that if Michelle had any friends that worked in the hospital. Her mom says yes. Her friend Oliver O'Quinn, he's a nurse.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Oliver was a divorced father. He had a child and he did spend time with her, they said, and he had no criminal background.
How old was Oliver?
Well, I don't think he's maybe 2 years older than her. Yeah, it's just a guess, but I want to say maybe a tad bit older than her, but close, you know, to his age.
20s.
Yes. And they started investigating Oliver, and he had, you know, they asked everybody about him, and he had told some tales of his military background, his time in Afghanistan, and I mean, maybe he was in the military, but I think they thought some of his story was embellished. Yeah. He was very into Michelle, apparently. Okay. He would borrow a doll to go with Michelle to take her dog to the dog park. Like, he just borrowed a dog from someone.
But she knew probably that he didn't have a dog.
I think she knew, but she was just like, okay, I'm nice to everybody. And
yeah, friend.
Your doll. He's a weirdo, but I'm going to be nice to him.
Yes.
And I mean, it was apparent to everyone that he liked her more than just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, she has a boyfriend. So obviously, but he's a little bit of a long distance boyfriend. I'll get to the motive, but she's just figured out that her and Jason have just decided they're going to be more than distant boyfriend and girlfriend. They're going to be more serious. They said he had to be very into her because in 30 days, they figured out that he called her over 40 times, Michelle. Yeah. Like, he was very
persistent.
Into her, very persistent. And he would drive by her house unexpectedly. And they think that he must have told all of her things.
He's way nicer than I would have been.
Yeah.
And it killed me a long time ago.
Yeah, they think that she must have told Oliver that things with her boyfriend.
Yes.
We're getting more serious, and that kind of threw him over the edge. Like, if I can't have her, no one can.
Yeah.
So they start trying to track down Oliver, right? They call him several times, the investigators. They can't get a hold of him. They go to his job at the hospital, and his boss said that she had just let him go the day before.
Like fired him?
Fired him, yeah.
Hmm.
And so she said, but he does work part time at another hospital, so the detective goes there, and they find him there. And they talk to him, and he says he's really busy. He can't talk right now. But so, yeah. And they were like, so did you hear about the death of Michelle? And he said,
oh, yeah, I think I read about it somewhere.
And that was weird because.
Did he go to her memorial? Do we know?
I know.
They never said that.
I think he probably did.
I mean, if he called her 40 times in a month and borrowed dogs going to fark at her, and they were obviously, you know,
really
good friends, or everybody thought they were really, I mean.
Yeah,
people knew he liked her more than friends and that she didn't like him, but she tolerated it because they said she was just very nice.
And he didn't go,
certain that his roommate, her best friend Jessica, would be like, why are you not?
I think it would be suspicious if he didn't.
He probably did go.
Yeah. And so, of course, he was supposed to go by and talk to the detective the next day. That day happens and he doesn't. True.
Yeah, they don't find it.
He doesn't come back to the station to talk to him. Oh, he says he's going on a long trip. And so he'll come by tomorrow before he heads out to his trip.
Yeah.
So he does. Oh, that's so busy. So the detective goes to Oliver's hometown in Tennessee to speak with his father. Oliver, of course, had already come and gone, right, to his parents. And the detective asked his dad, was Oliver acting strange or did he say anything? And his dad says, well, he was kind of depressed. He said a girlfriend of his had died of a drug overdose back in Gainesville.
Yeah.
His girlfriend or a friend of the girl?
I think he said
a girlfriend. A girlfriend, which could have been like, oh, Oliver, so, you know, he's a player. He's got multiple girlfriends, I guess, is what he was trying to say.
I think his dad probably knew that was.
Or a girl that's a friend. So the detective had him repeat that, what the dad said, what Oliver said, and that a girlfriend had died of a drug overdose. And the detective was like, okay. Because at that point, the toxicology report was not even back yet.
Oh, so nobody knew that.
No one knew. They just knew there was a Neil, Mark,
and they found the empty
bottle things.
Yeah,
that's all they knew. They had no toxicology report.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, of course, they were like, okay, we've got to find this guy. Of course, he knows more about her death than we do.
Yeah.
At this point, you know. So the detective calls the FBI because he's like, I need your help. I think we have a fugitive on the run. He's across state. He's across state lines and all that.
Yeah.
So they run his passport, and sure enough, he's traveling to Ireland. More than just...
Yeah. It's like this sounds, it's sounding familiar now.
Yeah.
Probably,
I may come back to you, because it's an older case, and it is a mystery at first, at least. So, Ireland is a country that is known to refuse to send fugitives back to the U.S. in protest of the death penalty.
Yes.
So, obviously, he knew that, and that's why he goes to Ireland. And they even said, because I think at one time, they said Oliver didn't have a lot of friends because he was smarter than so many other people, or that's what she said.
So, I think he thinks,
the detective was like, he just thought he was so smart, he's going to go to Ireland and just get away with murder.
Yeah.
They were like, they would not send him back, but they did put out surveillance on Oliver for the U.S.
Yeah.
Michelle's mom, she talked about it on the podcast. It was so sad. She was devastated.
But they usually will do it if they take the death penalty off the table.
I don't know why they wouldn't take it off the table, but they would not send him back. I mean, Michelle's mom on the special, she said she bought a one-way ticket to Ireland, and she said she had no need to go
with her.
Yeah.
I probably feel the same.
Yeah. They said she was like, it was $3,300, and it's still in my safe. Like, she didn't use it because her and the detective, they came up.
Yeah, I definitely can't blame her, but.
They came up with a plan. Belinda and the detective decided that they were going to put it out, like, in all the media, I guess, in the town where he was. Because he had applied to get his nursing license. But, yeah, he was, like, setting his life up there, right, in Ireland. Where he was, in all of Ireland, I guess, they put up, the plan was to just put it all out in the media that this guy, you know, Quinn was accused of murder back in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would sort of, they were hoping that would kind of push him out of the country because then everybody there
would just mess him up.
It would mess him up, yeah. And get him to move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it works. That's what they did. And in June 2006, his passport was flagged again because, you know, they're watching it, trying to see where he goes. And they get notified that he's in Africa. So they track his money just to.
I know. I don't know. I have no idea. But I thought it was odd too.
Staying in hostels and stuff, they said.
Yeah.
But still, like, maybe he did. I mean, I think he was in Ireland for a little bit. Like, maybe it did work a little bit that he had a job. And so they track him down in a country that has no problem sending him back to the U.N., which is Africa.
Yeah.
And her mom was sick at first, she said, because that's where Michelle wanted to move. Like, that was her plan after she graduated. Yes. And she wanted to help AIDS victims and, like we said, wanted to join the Peace Corps in Africa. And then Michelle's mom said she thought it was ironic because he got caught within a week in Africa. Because that's exactly where Michelle had wanted to go. And she was like, in a way, it kind of made me feel that justice was served because that was Michelle's place. That was where she wanted to move, was Africa. And that's where he was actually ended up being caught. So on May 20th, 2008, the trial began. Oh, also, this was really interesting. His DNA was on the needle cap. They tested it because the detective said his medical lab tech pointed out that his wife was also a nurse. And when she gives a shot, just thought about this and I thought, this is kind of like, I mean, I'm not trying to talk about any nurses,
yeah,
but they use their mouth to take the needle cap off. I've seen people do that.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
But I guess if it's the cap, it does, the needle never touches their mouth.
It doesn't, but the needle's right under that cap.
They'd be like,
because I guess they're trying to keep the, everything clean. I don't know. It just,
so he points to
the hands are full.
Like the hands are full.
Like a dial on this one and needle on this one. So right.
They use their mouth.
Yeah.
And
so that's exactly what he did. They tested that cap that was still in that bag.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, his DNA was on it.
Huh.
Yeah. Which I thought was wild that that was something that, you know. So Oliver's dad, he actually got on the stand and he said, he came as a witness and he said that he never said that about the girlfriend died of an overdose. That Oliver never told him that. And they even said,
his dad just pulled it out of his ear.
Like, well, I'm saying he never said that. So, because it was written down in the report. So it's like, I guess it's his word against the investigator's word. And they're like, you're on the stand, right?
Yeah.
You're under oath. And he said, yes. And he repeated it again.
So
at that point, then it didn't matter. Well, they had a lot of evidence against Oliver, but I guess he said he wasn't going to go against his son.
Yeah.
So,
dad totally
made perjury.
Absolutely.
Well, then they asked his half-sister, and Oliver also told her the overdose story.
Yeah.
And he then asked his sister not to talk to the police or tell them, and she told him she always tells the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Period.
So,
and we're just half.
Yeah. Again, she said.
Sorry, brother.
Said, I always tell the truth.
True.
They were interviewed her on the podcast. The defense argued their case, saying if he was so skilled on being able to do that, how did he get let go from his job, his nursing job? Because that's what.
I was wondering why
the birds get fired.
The boss had said that he wasn't skilled enough for his job, which I'm thinking that she just said that and he got caught stealing medicine.
Probably.
But I mean, how's the
area? Sure.
I don't think that being able to give a shot
means you're a really skilled nurse, and there's a lot more that goes into being a skilled nurse.
For sure.
I guess that's totally true. It could have been other things he sucked at.
Yeah, I was on saying, it was just something about other stuff, but I mean, given a shot.
Yeah. And they also said, like, how was he able to get the needle in her arm with no struggle?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Okay, well, I'll tell you how. It had come out that Oliver did give Michelle injections from time to time for her migraines. And I don't think that he was giving her that strong drug. I think he was giving her something else. You know how the other drugs were in the were in there.
It's not the propofol. Can't say anything. Propofol in.
Yes, they said that. I don't know. You know what it was, but that day
he just kill her. Like he did.
Okay. Well, so when the
so he was giving. That's how
she probably had a migraine.
That's right? How she trusted him to give her a shot.
That to begin with.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he gives her that day 4 times the legal limit.
Propofol.
Okay. He meant to kill her with that much.
But he just wanted her gone. Like he didn't.
Okay. Well,
rape her. He didn't. I mean, not that I'm encouraging that or hoping that happened. I'm just thinking it's just.
Juanita's farting about it.
It just, he literally just wanted her gone.
Well, there is one thing I'll say after this. The verdict took 2 hours to come back
and
the verdict. Okay. 2 years after Michelle's murder, Oliver was found guilty and sent to life in prison with no parole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is my answer to your question. So I read somewhere that he had told his cellmate that he overheard Michelle putting him down to her boyfriend, so he put her down.
Oh, he probably did. She's probably like, this dude Oliver is driving me insane. Like,
yes, that's probably exactly what she thought.
Foreign dogs, it's so weird.
And they think they use that propofol as for lethal injection and stuff.
Yeah. It's serious stuff.
Yeah. And so he knew they were like, there wasn't an accident. Like, yes, she was allowing him because, of course, he was trying to be her everything, her savior.
Right.
And the one thing she was struggling with was migraine. Mm-hmm. And so
he was giving her a propofol for the migraine.
I don't know if he was giving her that. He may have been, but there was 2 other medicines in there too.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe he was giving her an injections for actual like migraine medicine.
Well, he was.
And then he just snuck the propofol.
That's what I think happened. Even because I think, why was there 2 other medicines in that bag?
Yeah. That must have been actually for her migraine.
Yes. And then he ends up going to get that. He's mad because she's rejecting him. She's talking bad about him. And so that's when he said, you know, he was going to put her down, which I thought was awful. And her former mother was interviewed, and it was just so pitiful and awful. I mean,
she probably wasn't even talking bad about him. She's probably just telling her boyfriend, like, what he's doing. Like, he's,
yeah,
you know, wants to go to the park now all the time and walk his dog, and he's called me 40 times
in 30 days. Yeah. Yeah.
He's, you know, kind of getting on my last nerve, and he probably...
I think he just thought he was so smart, and obviously had, like, sociopathic tendencies. And her mother said that she addressed Oliver after the trial, and she said he looked at her. They were like, well, did he look at you, or what did he do? And she said he looked at me, but it was like he looked through me, like there was nothing there.
And he probably has some sort of personality disorder.
Yeah, like he just thought, he's so smart, and this girl that he's tried, he's done all these things for, giving her all this attention, and she still gets serious with her boyfriend, Jason.
Huh.
I know. It was super sad,
but it was just super...
I just looking at what he looks like. Yeah, I mean, he's not, like, bad looking. I mean, he looks a little nerdy, but he's not... I don't know. I mean, he's obviously...
got some problems.
And think about it. His poor child and ex-wife. It's just so sad. All because a girl rejected him. Yeah, I saw an older picture of him. That's probably more recent. Because this happened in, you know, 2005.
Yeah.
Well, and they got him. And he was convicted 2 years later.
Really sad.
I guess it was maybe a little over 2 years.
Really sad.
And can you believe that he almost got away with it? I mean, he really almost got away with the perfect murder. There was no sign of a struggle. There was nothing. I mean,
he missed a lot in the doors, laying back down, I guess.
I know. I think, you know why? I think because he had done it before several times. So he knew how to, like, lock the door. Like, maybe there was a hide a key or something.
Yeah.
I think that, or he just could lock the bottom lock. But I may
have taken her key.
And they might.
Because I know he did. Okay, so also her landlord, I read this somewhere else. He had come to her house a few days before. And Oliver actually answered her door and said that she had a migraine and that she was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognized Oliver as well and gave that same description as that neighbor. And he had said that Michelle called him 2 days later. And she said, like, oh, sorry, that was my friend that answered the door. I had a migraine because he needed to get something, his tools he had left behind. He was the landlord, but I think the owner of her place, her apartment.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get it. And Oliver was like, it's not a good time. And they thought that was weird. But then, I mean, she was fine after that.
He was probably protective. Like,
yes.
Even when he was there, like, and I wanted else to come over and ruin my time with her.
Yes.
You know?
Sure. Not even the landlord.
Yeah.
And then that's when he said, he just thought he really did almost get away with it. I mean, that was
tiny one little...
I know. It's in that medical examiner.
Mm-hmm. She really knew what to look for.
Yeah.
You think there's probably things that they look over all the time.
I mean, that's probably one that would have...
So then understandable if she'd missed.
You know,
yeah, said it was smaller than a freckle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about when you get a shot. You don't really see it. I mean...
Mm-mm. It can go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you do have a bad blood drawer.
Yeah.
I've definitely had bruised arm before, and I'm like, yeah, they... I'm sorry.
They didn't do a great job.
No, they did.
They should be sour, like Oliver.
Well, thank you for listening to episode 25. And we'll be back next week.
Yes.
Please like, subscribe, rate, and review if it's nice. Just email us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just email us.
If it's not, we'll go from there.
We'll listen to your suggestions.
Yeah.
@twoblindsleuths@gmail.com.
That's it.
Com. Right?
Okay.
Yep.
All right.